We'll come back in just a little while. It is 10 minutes long, so just keep that one in mind.
The three major political parties contesting the Brisbane City Council election start announcing their transport initiatives this week, with public transport and road congestion becoming a prominent concern amongst voters who are struggling with their daily commutes. LNP transport spokesperson and current transport committee chair, Councillor Ryan Murphy, mentioned the four key pillars of the current approach that the council is taking to transport.
First plank of that is continuing to upgrade our major road corridors, so projects like the Indooroopilly Roundabout and the Beams Road upgrade. Second element of the plan is an outsized investment in public transport, so projects like the Brisbane Metro, which is set to commence operations at the end of this year, in 2024. We want to see that extended to the airport, north to Chermside and then east to Carindale. And the third element is an investment in active transport. So when Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner came to office, he announced the new Green Bridges program. We've got two of those under construction at the moment. The Breakfast Creek Green Bridge will open within the next week, and the Kangaroo Point Green Bridge will open around the end of this year, as well as a range of bikeway projects across the city that we'll be announcing in the next couple of weeks. The final element is technology. We want to improve the technology that drives the city's public active and road network systems.
The Brisbane Metro project has been under construction for 8 years, with the opening expected at the end of this year. But it isn't without questions. The first issue is around costs, with overruns in the Metro project being a factor in recent budget issues for Brisbane City. Labor's Lord Mayoral candidate Tracy Price suggested the big price tag on this project could have been better invested elsewhere.
It's been 10 years in the making. It's $800 million over budget. Like, it's just crazy amount of cost that's gone into that. And I think about all the things that could have been done in all of our suburbs across Brisbane with that amount of money to make sure that we have a very efficient public transport system that benefits all of our city.
While the Labor opposition did have concerns about the project, transport advocates like Robert Dow from Rail Back on Track says the project has a lot of potential, even with a few flaws.
The Brisbane Metro project is misnamed, of course. It's really specialised bus rapid transit, which is a good example of bus rapid transit using the electric bi-articulated buses. It will allow more capacity on the busways themselves. And importantly, it will free up some of the buses that are running on the busway now to be deployed to the suburbs, where they'll be able to sort of enhance, improve the frequency on existing routes, and hopefully create some new routes across suburban routes, which Team Schrinner has been very quiet about.
Greens candidate for Lord Mayor Jonathan Sharanganathan agreed that the Metro project did have some merits, but a higher capacity transport option was required.
Yeah, BRT certainly has its place, and the Greens aren't opposed to the Metro project, and there might even be a case for rolling out further Metro lines, such as along Gympie Road out to Chermside. But light rail just carries a lot more people, even than the BRT or Brisbane Metro vehicles.
So what are the alternatives to the current administration's transport plan? Starting with the Labor Party's approach, they're looking to continue with road investments but are moving funding allocated to expanding the Metro project to a 50% fare discount for bus travel in Brisbane, looking to encourage people to come back to the system.
Yeah, we're investing $1 billion into upgrading infrastructure to fix intersections that are dangerous. We're wanting to increase the public transport options as far as routes and stuff around the city. The frequency needs to be substantially increased. We're also made the announcement about 50% bus fares, which is going towards not only reducing congestion but easing the cost of living pressures.
This incentive was criticised by Councillor Murphy, who said the state government should do more to encourage investments in bus services.
One of the difficulties of transport in Brisbane is that council delivers the public transport on the buses in collaboration with the state government. The state government is the level of government that provides all the ticketing, all the routing, and then they're the ones truly in control. So we're kind of contracted to the state government to deliver the services. And for the last decade, the state government has not provided any new growth funding for buses in Brisbane, which means we deliver less trips today than we did 10 years ago. So the state government is quite happy to sit there and to let Brisbane City Council do all of the heavy lifting when it comes to buses. So, for example, Brisbane City Council, under Team Schrinner's administration, the last 10 years we have increased the subsidy of Brisbane buses by 117%. At the same time, the state government has just matched inflation. So council continues to do the heavy lifting. We don't necessarily think it's a great idea for council to double, triple, quadruple down into that bus space without trying to negotiate a fairer deal with the state government to make sure that they're paying their fair share when it comes to Brisbane buses.
Councillor Murphy said that the council has increased their spending on buses at over twice the rate of the state government. But beyond the cost-sharing implications, there are concerns fare discounts will be inequitable, drive consumers away from rail towards congested buses, and would have limited impacts on utilisation.
Now, there's a very interesting study that was done by the Australian Bureau of Statistics in 2012, but it's still very relevant, okay? It looked at the factors of why people don't use public transport. Cost considerations was only 1.9%, okay? 2%. What were the main reasons that people don't use public service is that there was no service available, 28%. Convenience, comfort of a private vehicle, 26%. Service not available at the right convenient time, 23%. Travel time too long, 19%. Now, it's pretty clear that fare cuts is not going to really drive patronage increase. What will is improved frequency, more services, improved accessibility of the bus services particularly, and support rail properly with feeder buses. Now, that's going to get people onto public transport.
As you mentioned earlier, Jonathan Sharanganathan also has big infrastructure spends on his mind. Along with investments in improved bus services and active transport, the Greens are setting aside $10 million on a study of a potential return to light rail for Brisbane.
And this would be a 24-kilometre light rail corridor with services ideally running every 7.5 minutes off-peak and every 5 minutes in peak period, large capacity vehicles that can carry up to 450 passengers, not dissimilar to Sydney's new light rail project, and connecting to a whole bunch of major destinations like Griffith Nathan Campus, QE2 Hospital, the PA Hospital, and of course a lot of those high-density precincts through Woolloongabba, Kangaroo Point, Newstead and Hamilton.
Mr. Sharanganathan said the corridor would have many advantages in construction costs and in addressing a need for more east-to-west transport routes.
Yep. So this route has a few advantages. One, the road corridors we've identified are all quite wide, which makes it cheaper and simpler to introduce light rail tracks there without too much disruption and cost. But more importantly, it fills two needs. One is that there's not good east-west connectivity through the south side, and in particular destinations like QE2 Hospital and Griffith Nathan Campus fall halfway between some of our major transit corridors. So there needs to be an east-west connection running from Mount Gravatt past Nathan along Kessels Road. But the other point is simply that right now there are plans for major densification along the Ipswich Road corridor, but the Ipswich Road corridor is just a little bit too far away from the southeast busway and a little too far away from the existing train line that runs through Moorooka. So this light rail corridor kind of plugs that gap in between those other two major public transport corridors that are already getting a lot of use.
But there are some concerns with the project already, with Ms Price saying that big delays and big costs may not be worth it.
There are two significant issues straight up. One is the weight bearing across the Story Bridge, which they've announced. So infrastructure is just not going to be able to hold that sort of level of weight that would be required. And also Ipswich Road is a major freight corridor down to a whole lot of industries down there. So if you're going to take space off Ipswich Road and reduce that down to effectively one lane for cars, that in itself is going to cause a number of other problems, because there's also lack of residential directly on to Ipswich Road where they're proposing that would occur.
With quite fierce competition between the major candidates on this issue, this topic will no doubt influence the outcome of the election. Robert Dow says Rail Back on Track will continue keeping an eye out for new announcements and said the positions from all of these parties have at least some merit.
No, we've been monitoring all three Lord Mayor candidates fairly closely. We think the Labor candidate, Tracy Price, and Jonathan Tree are doing a good job. They're getting there. They're getting out there. They're making messages. What do we hear from the LNP or Direction? What do we hear from Team Schrenner? Not much at all, other than roads and traffic lights. Unfortunately, they need to do more.
Okay, and that was Robert Dow from Rail Back on Track finishing up that story. We took nearly 40 minutes worth of interview time on all of these with all of these candidates. We're going to publish all of those interviews raw, and we'll put them up on our website and on our Twitter. You can find those at 4zz.org.au/news and on our Twitter at Pineapple Rebel and on Facebook, which will be the Pineapple Rebellion.
And you should definitely go seek those out and listen to the full interviews.
Oh, because there's so much in there. We didn't talk about the airport train. Councillor Murphy really wanted to move in that direction, and it's a good idea, but there are complications. We talked a lot about active transport and what projects should and shouldn't go ahead. There's just lots of stuff in there. It's definitely worth it, especially if you want to know more before council elections.
Especially also interesting to see who raised, like, the multiple different interviewees raising the same concerns or sometimes slightly different ones, but it's interesting to see who raises what.
It does seem like the problem is fairly well set in these people's minds, but the answers are vastly different. Mm.
And, of course, you can see how Alexis butchered the edit in order to be her biased.
Oh, stop. You're flattering me. All right, we should probably go to a break. Let's go with a song off the album of the week.
What do you